Hello, I'm Shane, and welcome to Smosh Mouth.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and we have a wonderful special guest, Damien Haas.
Hey, great to be here, Amanda. Great to be here, Shane. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thanks, Damien.
We're so excited to have you.
Glad to have you here. This episode's going to be really cool. We've talked about So Random before on podcasts here at Smosh, but I was rummaging around my room, and I found some old scripts. Legitimately, I found three So Random scripts.
Wild.
From back when we were on the show. I also found the iCarly script, found a Henry Danger script, found a movie script. I found Dear Lemon Lima, a movie I did when I was a teenager. I kept all these scripts, but
somewhere Quentin Reviews is foaming at the mouth.
He's like, oh! But the So Random scripts I even found, here's the one I found.
Oh my
I'll show it briefly. We might have to blur some stuff out, just some stuff, but there's a bunch of signatures from all the cast,
wow,
including Damien. You wrote "ooh,"
because that was the inside joke.
And yeah.
Do you want? There's going to be a lot of inside jokes.
I'm going to be asking
everyone.
So basically, I am here as a voyager.
Mm.
I am sitting in a passenger seat with my seatbelt on, and I am going to be asking questions of things that I don't know or are curious about. But I want to hear about your So Random journey.
Love that.
Because I feel like me as Amanda, I know you guys from Smosh. I know Shane and Damien from Smosh, right?
That's right.
But you guys have brought up So Random, so I'm so glad that he found these scripts because I want to know.
And sure, you've never watched a single bit of So Random.
I haven't watched a damn episode of So Random, not on purpose, just because life.
Yeah.
That's okay. I would be almost a little weirded out if you were like, oh yeah,
I've seen every single episode, and that's why I'm on Smosh, because I beg to get on here because I love So Random.
We inspired Amanda to get into sketch.
Imagine it if I admitted that, if I was like, okay, I'm going to fangirl real quick, but you guys are the reason why I got into sketch.
I mean, that would be huge, but I have had people say things like, oh, I used to watch you as a kid, where I'm like, oh, that hurts my feelings because now I feel older. But like I was saying earlier, you know, while waiting for this, I didn't get recognized for So Random stuff until I started on Smosh, mm-hmm, because I was in college at the time. So like, unless I was at the grocery store after like work hours, when would a kid recognize me at all? Like, when would I be around people of the age to watch this?
That's,
you know,
true.
So like,
yeah.
So Random came out in 2011?
I think it was
11.
I'm looking at the date.
I think we started...
Yeah, it is there. This first sketch was written in March. So literally, quite literally 13 years ago.
Wow.
As of this.
And this
era.
Is when
feeling?
You guys
How
met.
How are we doing?
Yes. It's funny because I remember like getting on the soundstage and not being sure where to go. And Shane walks by and there was just a little like, I don't believe in too much metaphysical stuff, but there was just a little like sort of like radar going off. And I was like, I'm probably going to talk to him way more. And then he was like the first person I met in our not audition actual table read.
Yeah. Because we got hired. All the cast kind of came in at like different times, like the first 2 weeks. So they brought in a couple of the newer cast in the first week, and I was in on the first episode. Mm-hmm. And then second week they brought in you, Matthew Scott, a couple of the people into the table read. And I remember, since I didn't know what the deal was with this show, I wasn't hired on
to
as
this
a regular.
Day, we still don't.
We still don't know where we were. But we weren't hired as regulars.
Mm-hmm.
I was,
okay.
I auditioned, and you know, do you know the whole background of this whole thing? Do you know about Sunny with a Chance and stuff?
That sounds familiar.
So Sunny with a Chance was a sitcom on Disney Channel, similar to Hannah Montana, Wizards of Waverly Place. It was around that time.
Yeah.
And it starred Demi Lovato.
Denim La Bamba.
Yes.
Yeah, we were talking about this. I was like...
You were probably...
It wasn't in my
vicinity.
I was too old.
Yeah, both Damien and I were too. Generally speaking, I was 19 at the time, so I wasn't watching Disney Channel.
Not that anyone can.
Yeah, exactly. But Demi Lovato, but I was very aware, but let me be clear. I was very aware of all the Disney shows because I was auditioning for them.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
I'd auditioned for Hannah Montana. I'd probably auditioned for Wizards and stuff. But had the first two seasons. It was a big show. And then for reasons that
They went three seasons.
Did they go three?
We were the fourth.
Interesting. So, but it went for a couple seasons with Demi Lovato as the core selling point star of this show, and she's a huge star already. She leaves the show for reasons many people are, you know, aware of now and stuff. This was a long time ago, but she leaves the show. And so now they still contractually need to do another season, but they don't have their literal star. So they're like, what do we do? The show is about the behind the scenes of a sketch show.
A la 30 Rock.
So it's literally 30 Rock on Disney Channel.
Oh, I get it. And
so,
this is the sketch show.
So then they just go, let's make the sketch show.
That's actually smart.
I think so.
I think that's brilliant.
But it was also, it was weird to do because I'm like, Disney's never done sketch.
Can I give you the crazy background for before that?
Sure.
Years prior, I'm living in Georgia, still auditioning for things, and I auditioned for a show called Sketchpad. And I get called back a few times, and I'm like, oh man, like this might be a thing. And it is a sketch comedy show for the Disney Channel with a small element of focusing on the players in the sketch show. So I end up getting called back a few times. I audition. I don't end up booking it. You know, disappointing, but so it goes. And then when I'm auditioning for So Random, it's the same casting director, and she goes, oh, I'm so glad you're here. Oh, it's so good to see you again. And I'm like, oh, that's exactly what you want to hear. Come to find out, as you know, production hell goes, it started out as Sketchpad, became Sunny with a Chance. And then when she left, I think it was like, let's pull the ripcord on what this was supposed to originally be and turn back into that.
Did you know that?
I remember, I never auditioned for Sketchpad, but I remember my agents at one point being like, we got to get you in the room for Sketchpad. They've got that coming.
Were they chomping on a cigar?
I don't know why I'm making them that. They're women and they're not, but I never got an audition for it for whatever reason at the time. And I remember being like, damn, okay. And then it came back around and I got the audition for So Random. Mm. And yeah, the audition process was very similar to Smosh.
Really?
Where they were like, prepare a bunch of characters and come in. There was no script. There was no nothing.
Yeah.
And so like bring in impressions, characters and stuff. So I came in with some similar characters that I did for Smosh, honestly. Like I was like, I can do a Tom Cruise impression. So I did stuff like that. What was your audition like? I know we've talked about, I mean, they recognized you. They knew you.
I do a lot better flying by the seat of my pants than I do with like a written out script. So I had some general ideas of like, okay, these are some character types. These are like impressions I can kind of do. And I just sort of improvised. I was like, give me a word. And they were like, Bubbles. And I was like, great, Bubbles. And then I went from there and just went into character to character to character. And that was it. That's more comfortable for me because I would have been so nervous having to like memorize. Yeah. I figure like, hey,
same
game, recognized game.
Yeah,
for those of you with the audio version, we just bumped fists. But yeah, so when we went in for the table read, I was told it was still an audition. They were like, hey, they want to bring you in for a table read, see how it goes. And so I did that.
That's
and
true.
Then they were like, all right, so tomorrow we're going to meet up and do the whatever. And I was like, me too on the huh? And they were like, yeah, it's where you're going to film this. And I was like, oh God. And it was like that for all 24 episodes we did of like, I guess you're back this week.
And bro, they throw you in and it's a Disney Channel show where, so my first week I'm like, okay, I'm showing up. What is this? Mm-hmm. And I'm a guest star, but I'm fully in this show. We do the table read and it's shot like a sitcom. So you show up on Monday, we're table reading that episode. And then we go into a light rehearsal, and then you rehearse, you shoot some stuff on Thursday, I think.
Live show on Friday.
And then we do live on Friday.
Live sitcom style?
Live sitcoms, but live sketch. So it's more like SNL. And it is in front of a big audience.
100 children.
100 fucking kids. and it's my first week. It's my first week. I've never done live.
Yeah.
I have done stage shit.
Wait, I didn't know that.
I didn't do live.
Oh, you're incredible.
I was 19.
I would have never known
that. I was not doing live performances. I had been on sets. Like, and iCarly was the crew that does the laughter.
Live is a totally
different
game.
So I get in front of live, and the first sketch we're doing, I am for some reason the lead of it. And I'm doing an impression of Billy Mays. He had died 8 months prior to this sketch being filmed. And I was like, Disney, what are you doing? Okay. And I'm doing this whole bit. And I remember getting into it. And I'm like, okay, I'm filming this sketch in front of a bunch of people. They don't know who I am. So I need to be good or else this is going to flatline because these kids aren't like stoked to see me because they know me. They were so hyped to see the rest of the cast.
Yeah, and there's always like a musical guest too, where it's like we even had Justin Bieber. And so we always feel like, you know, but I had only done live because I barely ever booked on camera stuff because I'm not like believable as an actor. So I did an improv theater. You know, that was my like entire high school thing. I worked at an improv theater in Atlanta, would drive up every day. But like the on camera stuff scared the crap out of me. So I guess we just tagged out who was going to be shitting themselves that day.
I remember.
What? Now I really want to watch it.
They yelled action on it. And I remember I have to pop up and start doing this bit, and I'm in this insane character. And I remember I pop up, I say my first line, and then I get a response. And I remember I had like a second where I was doing my bit to the camera because I'm a salesman. I'm Billy Mays.
Yeah.
And I remember, I still vividly remember, I had like a second where I froze. And I was just there, and I was just like, and maybe it read as nothing to people, but I remember I had the split second where I go, holy shit. And then I just like, I was like, I gotta just go.
And that was your moment. It could either have gone this way or this way.
I had to go for it. And those first two episodes, I watched them and I'm like, all right. And then this first sketch that we have, that I pulled, this is episode.
Oh yeah. So we have scripts with us.
This is episode 5.
This is wild.
That we're going to read.
Yeah. So I found the scripts. I found the scripts. So I pulled a bunch and we're going to read them today. I guess I should have clarified that.
Oh my God. I'm so excited.
Is from episode 5. This is around the time when I started to feel comfortable. And this first sketch is called Garlic Garden.
Right.
And I don't know, were you on set for this?
I remember watching it. I think I was on set watching it, but I wasn't in it. And also, I haven't seen these scripts in a long time because they all went to my college email because I was like, I'm going to have that forever. And I plan ahead.
But see, I would take some from the table reads and from our, and I would, I would stack them up in my dressing room.
I remember that. And the LaCroix cans. Let's unpack this. Because now it's a thing.
I love stacking things.
I think Shane wants to live in a castle.
I would legitimately stack all, and you'd get like 4 scripts throughout the week because they're revising them. But I hit a point where my script stack in my dressing room was like 6 feet tall.
It was huge.
So every week, every Friday was a sketch.
Was a live show. Yeah. No, multiple sketches.
Yeah.
Was multiple sketches, and how long was the live show?
Handful of hours. I mean,
so it was like what, 9?
Oh, these were long days.
They were long days, but
no, 9 sketches, 8 sketches. Oh, 6
how many
sketches?
Five or six.
Five,
eventually,
six.
Hold on, usually come in with like 7, and a couple would get pared down during the week because they had a team of 800 writers. I remember they had to be very careful about how long they had the kids on set. So that was something we had to be aware of.
There was some
child labor laws.
Mm-hmm. So the script I have is for the final episode.
Oh.
Episode 26. Oh. That's where I have this whole script. I have the other scripts
at home.
This
is actually amazing that you guys did this. So what was crazy is since they kept you in this kind of like weird loop, like, did I get it? Couldn't really celebrate while you were doing it.
We guest starred for 26 episodes.
But here's the difference. We got paid like a third of what the series regulars did.
It's my big break. And you're like, I still have to struggle for rent.
I do remember getting my first ever like bachelor pad apartment after that. And like looking back now, the rent was bone cheap, even at the time. But I was like, this is going to last forever. And it was Los Angeles. So like within a year, I was like, time to learn how to sell jeans.
So this first sketch, there's roughly like 8 or 9 sketches per episode. But this first sketch is from episode 5. So this is around March, and we started in January.
Love it.
This is the first time where I couldn't stop breaking. Up until this point, my nerves had kept me where I didn't break at all in any of our sketches. I didn't even smile because I was so nervous. I knew this was when I was finally comfortable because I... And this wasn't live. This one was one of the ones we filmed on like a Thursday because that's a lot of cuts.
Okay.
But I remember I could not hold it in.
Were they mad about that or okay?
At first we were all laughing and I wasn't the only one laughing, but at a certain point they're like, all right, come on, let's get this together.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also had that problem at that time.
Yeah.
And I remember like there was one background actor that was like, hey, it'd be funnier if you weren't laughing at the joke.
Like,
and I was
hey, like, thanks, man.
Thanks.
You're like, your background, I'm Guest star.
I'm guest star. Okay, so this is
for scraps.
This is called The Garlic Garden. Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Amanda, can you play Mom?
Of course.
And also, can you play Farah?
Yes.
Damien, can you play Dad and Timmy?
Yeah.
Is Farah, how old is Farah?
Farah's ancient. She's like,
I thought you were going to say 16.
She's like a grandma, like, cool. Right?
No, that was played by Allison. I think that's a kid, right?
It says teen girl Farah.
Wait, this is before the recast.
What?
So Farah was recast by an ancient woman?
She's like super old.
That was the fun part of So Random. It was a bunch of teens and then one really old, stinky lady.
Sorry. I have this wrong. Mom is ancient.
Of course. Disney. Motherfuckers. Mom is so ancient, nobody knows how she was ever hot.
Well, here's what's confusing. So the rest of the cast, the regulars on the show, they have their character names, but all of us that were hired on, they have our first names, but then they would give us a different last name so that we weren't playing ourselves. We're characters.
Yeah.
Do you want to guess what my last name was?
Shane, like Michaels or like
Shane Zabo.
A proud Polish name. No, I don't. What is Zabo?
I don't know what it is to this day.
It's cool. It's
Shane
Disney.
Zabo was my name.
What was yours?
Damien Johansson. I'm like, that's vaguely Franco-Dutch.
Sure.
What? Like,
great.
Shane Zabo.
Zabo. Okay.
All right, so you'll be Mom and Farah.
Who's a teen.
I think Farah's an adult.
It says teen girl Farah.
Damn. Okay, yeah, because I was also a...
I'm also trying to put it in, like,
you got 26 episodes.
Let's just read this. Let's just read this and see what's going on.
Yes, sir.
This is probably before the edits, before they revise.
Do
revised
you
it.
Want me to read the stage directions?
I'll
or
read
you got
the,
it?
I can read the stage
okay.
directions.
And I'm okay. Dad and Timmy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go. Interior, The Garlic Garden. Music cue, happy commercial background music. Angle on, a sign for The Garlic Garden restaurant. A happy family, Mom, Dad, teen girl, and young Timmy sit at a table, laughing and eating in an Olive Garden-esque restaurant.
More breadsticks, Timmy.
Oh, thanks, Mom.
This place is awesome.
And I'll have some of that unlimited salad.
Vito Banducci, Shane, steps up to the table. That's what it's there for. More laughs. Hey, I'm Vito Banducci. Welcome to the Garlic Garden. Here, we treat you like family.
I sure would love some water.
So? You got legs, get it yourself. And you're wearing too much makeup. Thing is, I don't like my family. Oh, elbows off the table, huh? Vito slaps the back of Dad's head. What are we, animals? Like I said, we treat yous like family.
Could I get the chicken zucchini ravioli, but with no zucchini?
I'm gonna make an extra pot of food just for you. You'll eat what you'll get, and you'll like it, you ungrateful jamoke. What do you think this is, a restaurant?
yeah.
All right, Mr. Smart Alec, that's it. You lose. Off to bed, no dinner. Vito takes Timmy's plate.
Mommy?
At the Garlic Garden, you'll get authentic American chain Italian food at not very reasonable prices. But hey, your family. A white dog jumps up on the table.
Ew, gross.
The dog starts eating off Farah's plate.
Get away.
Don't you talk to her like that. Camilla eats on the table. She's done more for me than any of yous ever will. At the Garlic Garden, when you're here, we treat yous like family. Interior of the Garlic Garden, as before. Angle on, Vito leaning into Mom. Look, all I'm asking for is a small loan. You know, a couple of grand till the end of the month. I'll pay you back. Hey, we're family.
So
incredible.
This is way before they added in.
This is amazing.
I was in this sketch, Shane.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because of the rewrite.
There was huge rewrites where Vito's mom keeps coming out with like a pot that she's stirring. And she's like, when are you going to meet a nice Italian woman? I'm like, get back in the kitchen, Ma.
And I would come out as an old man and be like, hey.
They added so much shit to this.
Yes.
But this is the original. This is like, this is the table read version.
I could see this happening on the UCB stage right now.
It's, look.
I'm not kidding. Like, this is, it's actually really funny and good and also Very Italian.
Very Italian.
No, it's very strange that they cast me, who's not Italian
she
at all.
She's so white, you're like, use it, guys, use it,
They're like, Shane Szabo is Italian.
As an Italian, I give you permission to say that. So
thank you, Damien.
You got it.
So, okay, so they rewrote this whole thing.
They rewrite it a lot. And we would be getting rewrites on the day.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, because it's like sitcom style.
It reminds me of sketch, where you would get like rewrites up to an hour before the show.
Very much so.
Usually they had it locked at least, but like there were like a couple tweaks.
Well, go ahead.
Well, unlike SNL, we didn't need teleprompters, but they would make changes in the moment because, like, you know, you read the same sketch all week, you've heard it all week, it's not going to make you laugh the same way all week.
No, it's not.
But in the moment, they're going to be like, it's not funny to me anymore. What if the dog was a man? And you're like, oh, okay, I guess.
Yeah, I understand.
No, and what was so weird about it is it was run like a sitcom. Because and we kept sitcom writers. We kept the entire same crew and everything. So we had it was a sketch show with an entire sitcom cast, including all the regulars were sitcom actors. They're all hilarious. I love them. But nobody was like, people who were on Sunday with a Chance weren't like sketch actors. Now they were thrown into this.
You know what I'm realizing is I think that was actually a very good thing for how the cast worked together and bonded because, come to find out after getting to know them, some of them felt like, oh no, they're bringing in these like sketch actors who really know what they're doing with sketch and like that's what they're here for. I hope we don't get forgotten. And we're in that same position of like, oh God, we're joining a show where everybody already loves these characters and they know what they're doing. Like, and do we even have jobs next week? And so we were all just sort of in the same area of like, well, gosh, I'm not as good as you.
Yeah.
I guess no, that's bad for us. That kept us all low.
They kept us all down.
Yeah.
It was so trippy. And yeah, the entire time we were like, am I going to come back next week?
Yeah.
For 26 episodes.
Oh God, that's so stressful because you're probably thinking like, okay, we did the show. Oh God, did I mess up that line? Maybe that's not why they're going to call me back. And maybe da da da.
Well, and I think part of a stipulation of not being a regular, being guest star, is you can't be in every single episode.
I think I'm in 24 out of 26.
I'm in like 24 or 25 out of 26. Yeah. So I think mine was like episode 8 where they pulled me. And I remember doing 7 episodes and be like, this is awesome, it's going great. And then they're like, yeah, they don't need you for next week. And I was like, oh shit. But like I had been on this show every week for 7 weeks and suddenly I was just like, oh, I guess I won't go. Talk about the FOMO of my life.
Yeah.
Where you're just like at home and you're like, okay, so
it's kinda like
with
Smosh. Yeah. Like, hey Amanda, Angela's gonna take over. I'm like, okay. And she texts me, she's like, miss you, you're not missing anything. And then I look at all the stories and everyone's like, la la la, best day of my life.
That was the best video we've ever done.
It says Angela Courtney Shane. I'm like,
I get like Smosh TikToks though that like, you know, whether it's from someone's story or like someone has put it together. Like there was one the other day where it was you. While someone else was making coffee, you were in the background and it like zoomed in on you. And it was like, they're having so much fun. Amanda, love her. And I was like, that's great. They're making coffee.
No, I like, saw that video. I'm not doing anything. I'm making coffee. I'm like this.
Yeah.
I'm just
like, she's radiant while making it.
That's nice. I should read the comments more often.
It's always a healthy thing to read comments.
Yeah.
But FOMO is a real thing. And also, you're 19 or 18.
I was 19.
That's really overwhelming.
Oh, yeah. It was my first, like, it was, you know, you hear, and I think it's a little bit of a myth now, but you hear a lot about, like, your big break.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's a myth. I think, you know, you kind of, a career is a weird thing that goes up and down. But I was like, oh my gosh, this is my big break. Like after this, I'm going to find work. I'm going to be working always. That turned out not to be true.
Yeah.
But I remember like, oh shit, like I can't blow this. Like,
right.
And you know, you have agents and managers who are like, they're screwing you over. We should negotiate for something. And you're like, no, don't say anything.
Don't rock the boat. I'll do it for free.
I'll kiss them.
I'll make you feel good.
I'll paint their house.
I'll do whatever.
Yeah.
I'll do the funny dance.
We get so desperate. We're like, don't rock the boat. I'm so sick. I'm coming into work.
It's like yeah, if we unionize and stick together, we can get what we deserve. Right, guys? Guys? And everyone's like, I'll do the backpack kid dance.
No, there was so much anxiety around the whole show. And I remember, and I wanted to say earlier of like, when you came in, you and like other people came in for the second week, at the table read, I was like, oh fuck, we're getting replaced.
Oh.
I was like, oh, us and the other people that came in for the first episode, we clearly didn't pass the test and they're showing us our replacements. So everyone thought they were getting replaced. Nobody got replaced. Like everyone was there.
Do you think they do that on purpose?
I think they on purpose don't really try to comfort you or tell you. Producers are not going to be there to be like, hey, we just want to let you know, like, we think this cast is solid and you guys are going to be here from start to finish. They don't want you to have too much confidence.
I think there's a part of it that's like that for manipulation, to put it bluntly. But I also think it's just like legally you can't promise work to anybody. But like, I remember I was in a position there where like I was considering dropping out of college because I was showing up to classes just to like take tests, and then I would like skateboard as quickly as possible back to where my car was parked, you know, half the campus away, and would drive to Hollywood to film as quickly as possible and try not to be late. And I was like, what am I doing? And my dad had just passed too. And I was like, I don't really have a whole lot of like cornerstones to be like, is this a good life decision to drop out of college and do this show, which is clearly the only thing I have time for? So I kept asking them like, hey, like, I know you can't say officially, but like between you, me and the wallpaper,
but officially,
am I employing for 7 more episodes, please?
And they were like, we don't know.
They were like, we're having a great time with you. And I'm like,
they might, I will say though, they might not have known.
I don't think they
might
did.
Have been like, we're just hoping on this week.
Well,
maybe.
I think I that's know. Part
and,
of it.
And it's true because even the like in people most in charge at So Random were answering to someone else from like the Disney execs. We're probably giving them vague answers.
Yeah.
And I know towards the end of the show, they were upset that like the Disney execs didn't want it, you know? And
yeah.
Those decisions are ultimately made by like the ultimate ultimates.
I think that's pretty dumb on their part because like, all That was a sketch show, but
some
the
of the
thing
same
is,
people worked on it.
All That wasn't live.
Wasn't it?
I thought it wasn't filmed.
Oh, I thought
live.
Some of it was.
Like, wait, was it?
So I'm not saying it wasn't like live as in like live
no,
broadcast,
I know.
But like a live
I know,
audience.
But like
I think
a live
so, all
audience.
That, at least in the 90s, had an like, because they would have their performances. Well,
Kenan Thompson is very real, I can assure you.
This episode of Smosh Mouth is brought to you by Rocket Money. So Rocket Money, it helps and finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. And I downloaded it recently, and I, for the most part, I was like, okay, not too many subscriptions I didn't know about, except for one. I have been paying for Minecraft Realms for the past year, and I did not realize it at all.
And you didn't, you're not playing it?
I haven't played it in a year. I was playing it a year ago for like a couple months, and then I was like, oh,
wasting
okay,
money.
Thank you, Rocket Money, for letting me know. Otherwise, I would have never known. It would have slipped by, but Rocket Money it showed it right out there for me and let me know, because Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. And it's great. It's so organized. I need to see all of my subscriptions in one place or else I'm lost, and it does it for me. I love it.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/smoshmouth. That's rocketmoney.com/smoshmouth. rocketmoney.com/smoshmouth.
Back to the show.
But this is in a different era. And we were talking about this the other day.
Yeah.
We were talking about how different kids' sitcoms were in the 90s versus this is the era, like after Hannah Montana, it was the era of merchandising and the era of like pushing all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like, you want to be famous. You want to be a singer. You want to be all this. And like just all this merchandise. And So Random couldn't have any merchandise because it was sketch.
Yeah, so
you
would
have
like
hard to merchandise off
the
of
dancing
it.
Show, like Step It Up or what was it?
Shake It Up.
Shake It Up, and it was like, oh, we've got the Bella. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting all of this.
Bella Thorne.
We got
Zendaya.
The Bella Thorne like lunchbox, and you want to buy that, and we couldn't do that
because
we didn't have a singular character.
We realized
character.
The other day when we were talking about this, Disney doesn't have commercials. They only have their own. It's all Disney all the time.
Right.
Their own. If it's a commercial, it's a promotion for a movie of Disney.
So Disney doesn't, at least, it doesn't make money off of its TV shows directly. They make money off the merchandising that comes with their shows.
So it's simply because they couldn't make merchandising.
I think
that's
they couldn't make. That was our guess. We never got told that officially, but Thinking about it, knowing this industry, it's that. It's also that it was expensive. Sketch is expensive.
The pig outfit?
Of course,
but they also would spend a lot of money. They're building brand new sets every week for sketches.
The sets were great, but like we did a sketch where like someone had to play Porky Pig, and you know, you would imagine maybe like a little nose, some like ears, like that's sketch comedy. That's enough. They rented a to the best of my knowledge, I think it was $10,000 to rent this very true to life pig mascot outfit that you could not act in.
Okay, we'll put this up on screen. Can you pass her the prosthetic? So I did a sketch called Jack Sparrow, where I am a sparrow.
That's
and
funny
they
though.
Did full on prosthetics. That is a beak that moves up and down with my mouth.
That's funny though.
Wait, that's
that was
yeah, but that's really good.
Wait, that's you?
Yes, I was in hours of makeup. And they did prosthetic stuff like this all the time. Damien had a sketch called My Big Hands.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, that was probably too loud. My Big Hands. apparently, it was a prop that was used on some Star Trek shoot, but they were just very realistic hands that were very, like, comically big, but looked real and were, like, articulated and I could move perfectly. Yes. And they had to put me in these very realistically. And that was the whole thing. It was a kid with really big hands. It was the whole sketch.
So they,
I loved it.
They
though.
Were doling
you
out.
You guys the are
budget,
cool.
The budget was insane.
That's so cool.
We're doing stuff that like should never have. They shouldn't have been spending that money.
But that's so cool.
It was really cool to experience special effects makeup. Like that's unless I get on a Star Trek show, I'm probably not going
to
have that.
What is it like to get special effects makeup on?
So for the beak that they had to put on my face, where literally like, I think I could still breathe out of my nose is what's crazy.
Hopefully.
But no, it takes forever. Like they were like, all right, you're going to sit down with this special effects makeup person early in the day.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to film this later. And also, mind you, I'm in a gigantic fucking feather suit with a pirate costume over it.
Comfy.
But they apply a bunch of stuff and then they put this beak on and then they spend up forever applying onto that. So you have this beak on your face, but when you open your mouth, it opens.
Wow.
And you start talking.
That's
and when you talk,
huge.
It talks. And you do have to be very pronounced with how you talk. Like I had to make sure I was talking like that while also doing my Jack Sparrow impression. And we're filming it in a nest. I'm sorry. That sketch does embarrass me.
That was when I didn't get to see filming. So I only saw it filmed. I think that was like the week after or the week before I joined. And so I was just impressed as hell by it.
It was one of the first weeks and, it got hot.
Yeah.
And we're in all this stuff.
So when you're sitting in the chair,
do you
have anything to pass the time?
I mean, you would talk to the
special effects person.
A lot of the makeup artists and hair stylists would just be really cool, chill people that you could talk to. Like, I had a recurring character that was a zombie that in a write-up they said was the darkest thing to ever happen on the Disney Channel. But the whole joke was that, oops, a kid went missing. It was probably the zombie that ate him. And so I had like a mild amount of special effects makeup and they sort of got it down pat. They could get it done within an hour and they're like basically like gluing crepe paper to my face to make it look like shredded skin. But like it was the first sketch I filmed and I'm also in like a Letterman jacket in the heat of a blacktop pavement parking lot in LA in the summer and I'm just sweating this all down and it was just the most like it's so fun in the moment, but then when you're done, you're like, that is every ounce of energy I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
Wow.
Speaking of your sketches,
second
one I printed out, I wanted to find Zombie Man, but Zombie Man didn't have a lot of like, I didn't find a Zombie Man sketch. It doesn't have a lot of performance in it. It's a little bit more of a...
Okay. No, I'm kidding.
I found the one that does have more performance, and that is Olaf Glutella, fake foreign exchange student.
Oh.
Olaf Glutella. Like Nutella?
Probably.
But Glutella. So
does she bake a lot of gluten?
This is also from the same episode as the Garlic Garden. So this is early on.
How you feel about the Jack Sparrow one? I think I feel that way about this one.
Really?
Yeah.
You had a lot where you had to do accents because you also had the Irish teacher one.
Yeah, so for this one, I was like, oh, do you want like a realistic, any kind of accent? And they're like, no, make it weird and different because he's foreign. And I'm like, what can I do? Can I pick a place? And they're just like, they're like, no, make it wacky because you're a fake foreign exchange student. I'm like, okay.
So this came out in 2011. Everyone, just heads up.
That's fine.
So, and this is on the Disney Channel.
Yeah.
In 2011. So, Amanda, can you play Mrs. Jaffe?
Of course. Is she ancient?
I don't think so.
She's an ancient teenager at an Italian restaurant.
I am actually cast as the announcer. And then, Damien, can you be Owen Gordon and Olaf?
Yeah.
Wow, Olaf.
Who are the students?
The students?
They're extras.
Yeah, fuck them.
Fuck
them.
Who gives a shit?
They don't matter. Like, they don't matter.
True.
Now, would you like me to do it as I did in the day?
I want you to try to do it as you performed it.
I don't remember normal Owen, but I do remember Olaf, so okay. Let's make that happen.
I remember it too, very vividly. All right, interior, classroom. Owen Gordon, Damien, is being tossed out of his classroom by Mrs. Jaffe. After being expelled for extreme class clowning. Exterior, school hallway, sag down, smack down set. That's a different sketch. Continuous. The classroom door slams behind Owen. He pouts and then gets an idea. Typical American teenager Owen Gordon realized there was only one way to return to school and continue his shenanigans. Cut to interior bathroom. Bedazzle zit bathroom set. Continuous. Owen looks at himself in the mirror, dips down out of view. When he pops up, he is wearing a bushy mustache, crazy wig, wild and crazy guy's shirt, dark eyebrows, revealing a foreign look.
OMG.
Announcer Bia.
Just quick check in. We sure about this one? Are we sure, everybody? All right, here we go.
This is what we were handed.
This is from 2011 from an actual Disney show that Shane and Damien did.
He became Olaf Glutella, fake foreign exchange student. Olaf looks in mirror, points a water gun and squirts. Olaf looking in mirror.
How do you say in my country? It means welcome everybody.
Interior classroom, high school classroom. The no nonsense teacher, Mrs. Jaffe, enters.
Students, please join me in welcoming our new foreign exchange student from Glendovia. Olaf Glutella.
Olaf Glutella enters the class doing the same crazy flailing arms and legs walk, then kicks Mrs. Jaffe in the butt. The kids laugh. Olaf smiles, loving it.
Olaf, why are you kicking me in the buttocks?
How you say in my country, it means hello. Again, hello.
Olaf kicks Mrs. Jaffe in the butt again. Class laughs.
Olaf, that's enough with the hellos. Take your seat and leave mine alone. And don't feel like you have to participate, but you can if you want.
Olaf does his crazy walk to his seat to laughs. Mrs. Jaffe writing on the whiteboard.
Who can tell me what X cubed is?
Slam! A beach ball smacks the board, bounces off.
Ah!
Mrs. Jaffe turns around to see Olaf volleying a beach ball.
Olaf...
How you say in my country, this is participate. I love participate.
Olaf bounces the beach ball into the air a few times, then sends it flying at Mrs. Jaffe, just missing her head. He keeps smacking the beach ball at her. She keeps screaming and ducking.
Participate!
Ow!
Participate!
Ow!
Participate!
Ow!
Mrs. Jaffe tries to catch the ball, fails, tries again, runs all over the class until she finally grabs it and holds it, panting. The class is laughing.
Olaf, in America, we don't participate by throwing beach balls at heads. Show your teacher some respect.
Oh, no. Let me sorry.
Olaf runs up to the front of the class, pulls out silly string from his backpack, and sprays Mrs. Jaffe's face.
Olaf, why in the world will you spray me with funny floss? Rotten egg scented funny floss.
Well, you say, in my country, it means respect.
He keeps on spraying.
Loved this sketch.
I have so lots respect for you. So lots respect.
The class is dying.
Olaf, no more anything. No respect, no participate, no hellos. Sit quietly and do nothing. Do nothing. Do you understand?
Olaf nods like a bobblehead.
The rest of you. While your teacher tries to get a certain classmate transferred to another school, you'll take a pop quiz.
groans from the class, but then the fire alarm goes off. Mrs. Jaffe turns to see Olaf pumping the fire alarm.
Olaf, no! Bad Olaf!
Well, you say, in my country, this doing nothing!
Olaf pumps the fire alarm.
Doing nothing! Doing nothing! Doing nothing!
Pop quiz canceled. Everyone, file out!
The class cheers, Olaf, 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 as they file out of class. Olaf's the last one out.
How you say? Dropping accent and act. I'm getting away with murder. Wink.
Disney taught children to act like this? Yeah. Oh my God.
The iPad generation is Disney's
This
fault.
Is why teachers oh were miserable, are miserable.
This explains Gen Z.
This was a lot of fun.
I will say, this is a very well-crafted sketch.
It's a lot of fun.
These are like very well-crafted, like da-da-da-ba-ba-da-beep-ba-boop.
Oh, yeah. They're perfectly like wrapped up.
They're great.
The writers knew what they were doing. They all had pretty impressive resumes and like really knew what was up.
They're great.
And that is, this is, it's cool seeing this because like, this is one of the ones that gets brought up the most when people talk about it.
Really?
To me, I guess. It's not like it happens that often, but like when someone brings it up, I'm like, oh yeah, that was a thing. So it is a well-crafted sketch. It is goofy. And it really did give me an opportunity to be pretty wacky, like in one of my first episodes. I don't know.
Yeah.
I love it. I feel like if this sketch was brought to like now age theater, like UCB, they'd be like, all right, super cool. What if Olaf was like, you know what? You're right. I'm going to reveal something to you. And then he just goes, I'm not from Glendovia. I'm from blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
And we
exactly.
all think that you're going to like take off your mustache and stuff. And then she's like, Olaf.
Yeah. Different disguise. The Derek comedy. Like, let me get the principal.
Yeah. Right.
Perfect
Hello,
sketch.
Students.
Wow.
We played a lot of characters.
We
had
sure
a lot. Because you had Zombie Man, you had Olaf Glutella,
mm-hmm.
you had the Irish, he had an Irish teacher character where the whole point was that you couldn't say, there was a word you couldn't say.
They wanted me to say 40 and it sounded like farty.
Oh,
like
240.
Yeah.
You couldn't say 240.
And I
too
like,
farty.
I had like watched like a few Colin Farrell movies to like prepare. I'm like, I really want to do a good Irish accent. And they're like, no, we want you to do the like the hoity-toity-toity. And I was like, okay, let's go, baby.
No, be offensive.
Yeah,
no.
Well, but also like no kid is going to be like, that's Belford. That's Belford Abbey.
Yeah.
That's Belfast or whatever. I don't know.
It's too farty, yeah. kids.
That's yeah. We had a lot.
It's County Cork.
Because I had a character that I loved called Mr. Goodman.
Yes!
Which was like this teacher who's trying to be really cool. And I would roll around the class in Heelys. And it always had crazy stunts. So in like one sketch, the first one I ever did, I had to Heely around the room, like run into things. I had to throw a book through a window. Mm-hmm. So breakaway glass for that. I had to break a guitar on a desk. I had to then karate chop the desk in half.
It was not a breakaway desk. Shane just focused all
I
his power.
I just really was strong.
Stop.
And then I had to roll out of the classroom, out back, and then I had to fall on the ground right around where the glass broke. It was so much shit. Yeah.
That's so cool. In
oh,
my
yeah.
opinion,
it was crazy,
like,
man.
That, I mean, I would want to do that now. Like,
yeah.
I feel like
oh, yeah.
that those type of shows are so fun to be like, all right, you're going to do all this crazy stuff. Also, the cool teacher... But do the students think he's cool?
No.
Okay, that's the best character ever.
It's great.
To, no, like, they're like to play
they're
cool.
Like, no, and what's funny is that the kids weren't making fun of me. They were just kind of like, "Hey, man, you don't have to do this."
And yeah. he's like, "Yeah, don't worry, guys. Watch this."
Yeah, yeah, it was very fun.
You brought him to a Smosh sketch, though. We didn't. Did
yes.
we call him Mr. Goodman?
So we no, we didn't call him Mr. Goodman. We did it. We did every substitute ever. If you watch it, it's I
the
literally,
origin of Mr. Grubb as well.
I was in that.
Were you in every substitute teacher?
I thought that was before.
No, that was before I think we hired.
It's the one with the Merrill twins in the background, and for some reason
oh, yeah,
we didn't
right.
have them speak, and everyone's
but
like, are those the Merrill
if
twins?
If you watch it, my look is completely different, but I literally just was like, I'm just going to do the same
yeah.
bit, and I literally do the exact same thing.
Oh my God, I can't wait to see
it's
it.
It's very fun. And then I had, a character that is quite literally the same. I had this character called Simple Country Boy, And and he would just end up in insane situations where like these two like bomb squad members are trying to defuse a bomb and it's
Sir,
got like
which wire do we
it's
cut?
Got like 5 minutes left, and I would come up as like a simple country boy with like overalls, no t-shirt, and like a straw hat, and I'd just be like, well, I'm just a simple country boy, but I guess I could figure this out. And
were you right usually?
And I would always help and figure it out. I would solve the situation.
He would know like the most important thing about it, where he's like, well, from what I can tell, it's a neutron bomb, which means the connectors are actually at a positive and negative discharge. Like, wasn't that the kind
of
vibe?
Yeah, and that sketch was crazy because they actually put a legitimate timer on this bomb.
It was a real bomb on
this fake bomb. But we had this timer, so we had to time our jokes to land right when it needed to. And we actually ended up with too much time. And I added this joke of like, oh, we're actually doing fine. We got extra time here. And they're like, no. Like, and it,
that's funny.
There was improvised moments we would throw in.
So you were physical comedy and like impressions, and we both had characters, and they gave me the accents because I had like the
you
French
hand
accents.
Guy. You had accents. I had like weird shit. I did a Jerry Seinfeld character.
That's awesome.
In one of the first episodes, they're like, you're Jerry Seinfeld.
You were Pat Sajak,
the
too.
The kids will love that. Yeah.
What?
I know, dude. There's some weird shit in there.
It was a one in a million chance, though. Like, because I know,
it's
like,
amazing.
You are a sketch actor, obviously. So, like, talking about this, like, oh, yeah, we just got to do this thing when we were, like, 19 and 20. Like,
dream.
I'm being disparaging because I'm like, oh, yeah, I was goofy. Like, I'm doing that to myself. But, like, in reality, like, what a cool
We loved it at the time, too.
Yeah.
We were in it.
Oh, I can tell.
It was great.
Like, a lot of jobs you end up on and you're like, fuck. And, like, I look, like, no, truly. A lot of jobs you work and you're like, god damn, like, this is brutal. And you look back and you're like, god, that was a great job, but it was hard that week up. This job, we were legitimately, like, all of us were stoked to be there. It was crazy.
We would go to UCB like every Friday and just like bond and be like, hey, let's just go watch a show.
Honestly, yeah. That's my dream.
It was a dream.
That's my dream to just like, but it's so cool that you get all week to like kind of prep and then Friday's like the show and it can change and there's costume changes and you get to just like move your body physically and mentally and like do all these cool things. Like, that's a dream.
It was a freaking trip, man. And, There were episodes and sketches that were hard as shit. Damien has one that makes me laugh to this day because I saw Damien in True Hell. Well, also, let's be clear. There is a joke that Damien and I still reference, and it happens here at Smosh's. There's the mustache versions of ourselves. Whenever you have a sketch, we have to wear a mustache. Your entire personality is about to go away. You're about to be so sad because it's so uncomfortable to have a fake mustache.
Obviously,
on.
Like, because that's the origin of what we called like Dark Damien or whatever.
Yeah.
But I realize now, like, you know, I'm sure I've talked about this plenty, but like, I've got a lot of neuro spicy things going on, and I realized, oh, I was so overwhelmed in a sensory way that was me going nonverbal. Everyone's like, Damien's so sad because he has a mustache, and now looking back, I'm like, oh, I just didn't know what to do.
Do you know the sketch that I'm talking about? That it was Robot? Your absolute it was Jamtron. He had a sketch where you had to be in a full robot suit.
I had to be in a full robot suit made for a different Disney actor who was a different size than I was. And it was very, like, rigid. Like, these parts were, you know, any joint was, like, able to be articulated. Mm. But I would have, like, forearm guards and, like, shoulder pauldrons and all these things. And I was in full, like, metallic face paint. And there was a whole song. Basically, what if your Scantron came to life and was here to dance with you? And
like Scantron test?
Yeah, but he was your Jamtron.
So
I had to do this like whole dance with it. But because these things were so rigid, like I was bigger than that guy. So my circulation was being cut off the whole time. And like the rap was basically, there was like a rap, of course there's a rap. There was like this little like rap breakdown where the lyrics were just answers to the test. We'd be like, A, B, C, B, D, B, C, B, A, B, B, C. And they were very specific. They were like, no, you need to get those right because we have to harmonize with those. And then at the very end of like hours of sweating and dancing and making sure it's right and not being able to get out of it, the producer comes up to me and is like, hey, what is this thing? And pokes it and lights turn on the robot and we filmed the whole thing without the special effect robot light. Like Jamtron, like neon was like Jamtron, like across the front and we did none of it. And so we all just said, screw it. Like we got what we got.
It's too late.
Reshoot it?
No. It was hours, Amanda. We, like 6 hours.
We had spent hours on the sketch, like way more than most sketches. And I, you know, as we described the vibe of the show, where we're not going to complain.
No.
We're trying our best. I witnessed Damien in the middle of this sketch there, just the brightest smile on his face, but I can see the pain there. And I was just like, that guy is in hell right now.
I don't remember it.
I wasn't in the sketch. And I remember sitting up. There's some sketches where you're not in and you're just like, thank God, I'm not in that one.
Everybody had just a red Solo cup at the like dance party just watching me do this. I don't remember any of it though, other than like, I remember like shots of it. Like I remember watching the episode, but I don't remember sort of like coming back online mentally until the like boop lights.
And you're like, I'm like, huh? Jellotron.
Yeah.
I'm your jam tron.
Sometimes you just black out. I remember I blacked out a little bit on, there was a sketch that Damien and I pitched.
So you could pitch sketches or not?
So it was a thing that kind of only a couple of us were like, let's do this. And
but officially we weren't allowed to be credited on them. No. Otherwise they'd have to pay us as writers, which they couldn't.
Yeah, they said they couldn't do that.
Couldn't do it.
But we had a whole sketch that was literally like, a couple that were like, came from us.
Yeah.
And one was staring contest.
Oh my God, yes.
And I sit down on a bench and Damien's sitting there across the way, just staring at me, staying perfectly still. And I'm like, nice day, huh? And I look at him and I'm like, okay, I see how it is. Staring contest, you're on. And I sit there and my entire life goes by. It's a time lapse, but it goes for decades.
Beard,
a beard That's fully brilliant. Grows and I'm married, but I'm staying in the staring contest the whole time until I'm an old man. And then someone walks up, Damien hasn't aged, but my character ages. Someone walks up and they go, that's where I left my mannequin, and they pick him up and walk away.
Yeah, I did not have to actually be in the rest of the sketch.
Wait!
So I was just like, have fun.
That's a brilliant sketch.
It was very fun. You. But mind you,
I love that.
Time lapse. So I go through multiple beards.
Mm-hmm.
They're applying spirit gum and then getting off the spirit gum, reapplying spirit gum, putting on new beards. I had several different things in the course of a couple hours. My face hurt so much. I was like, it was a glimpse into why I understand why Jim Carrey had to have CIA training for The Grinch. Because I'm like, oh my God, it's a nightmare.
Spirit gum, I have gone through my plenty of spirit gum. The smell alone now brings back this old nostalgic vibe. Here's the thing. I actually love wearing mustaches. They give me comfort and joy.
Wow.
I don't feel sad. But when I have to take them off and put on a new one, this like weird kind of like Nana's basement vibe comes in.
Yes.
Where you're like, you smell and you're like, I've been here before.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
It's like nostalgia, but not great.
And you're like, I kind of want to go home, but I know we have to be here.
Yes.
And Nana's on her way out. I got to stay.
You're like, what was Christmas like in the 30s?
Has that smell. Like, I just...
For anyone who doesn't know, spirit gum is this like skin glue that you use for in theater and film for prosthetic stuff or mustaches.
Or mustaches.
But for me, it's not just the smell of spirit gum, which is so distinct, by the way. The remover of it leaves this like oily residue where it's like, imagine eating chicken wings, but you're not allowed to wipe your lips. And that's what it feels
oil.
Like to
it's
me.
It's like oil.
It's just oil on your face.
It's truly the worst.
I did it for the elf ears for Halloween this past year. And I was like, this is the first time I've ever chosen to wear spirit gum.
Oh yeah.
My how far I've gone.
But I guess applying it to like a small area when you have it smeared across your face.
Nope.
This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames, a digital photo frame that is currently the best gift to give.
Yeah.
I gave one to my grandmother and she loves it. I get to send photos to her across the world. Right away, instantly, she receives it. It only takes 2 minutes to set up, and she can respond with cute little emojis.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, just having a digital frame that you can upload. It has, like, unlimited storage. So you can upload from your phone just any photos you want at any time from anywhere. It's really cool because it allows for a lot of creativity and freedom with it. Like, you know, during, like, Christmas season or during summer, different times of the year, you can just change it up at all times.
Cute.
You can at any point throw in a dumb meme.
Oh,
surprise people.
I love that.
It's, oh man, there's so much room for fun with it. It's great.
Right now, you can save on the perfect gift that keeps on giving by visiting AuraFrames.com. For a limited time, listeners can get $20 off their best-selling frame with code SMOSH. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code SMOSH. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, back to the show.
Back to the show.
Is there any way that you could, like, do that sketch again? Because I I love that idea.
I should just find it and show it to you.
Let's just let's make that a full day of filming. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do the whole thing again.
Yeah, Jumbotron.
Jumbotron is the sequel. I was like, Damien, can you gain 600 pounds for this role and be an even bigger robot?
But we pitched a lot of stuff, and one that I know came from us, but I know we didn't write this, but
you pitched it.
The idea is the Anime Brothers.
Yeah.
Which is very funny, like now looking at Smosh and all the stuff we've done here, and also the fact that you are now literally several anime characters.
Yay!
But
like, this was a fun thing because we would always hang out. My dressing room was the first one when you turned to go into the dressing room, so it was often where a lot of us hung out. And so we would back and forth. In fact, we made up the make me laugh and spit out the water thing.
Yes, we started doing that. We started just doing that. We would be out sitting outside and one of us would
You guys started trying not to laugh before trying not to laugh?
I guess we're owed something. but no, we would also do just like anime voices back and forth. And it was like the first friend I'd ever connected with where I'm like, oh, I could do goofy anime humor and he kind of digs this. Like,
this is
great.
That's where the best ideas come from, honestly, is in the dressing room. You're messing around with your friend and then you're like, should we write this? And I swear to God, it's always like the last thing you want to pitch. And then you pitch it and the director's like, that's great. Where'd you come up with that? Why did you save that? And you're like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, we'll do this.
But
our friendship really blossomed in those goofy
really
little
did.
Jokes.
And I love that you guys had your own dressing rooms. Hello.
I know.
That was wild. Dude, people didn't. Some people had to go to the building next door that had no power.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
we were famous.
We got lucky. I had Demi Lovato's old dressing room.
I thought I did.
Did you?
I guess you did. Well, if that was...
No, I'm pretty sure I did because I was right next to Tiffany.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You guys okay?
Yeah, I guess we'll get over it.
Remember when that skeleton kept making the rounds as
a prank? Yes, Allison from the show, she would always leave this horrifying Halloween doll skeleton thing in different people's rooms.
Like a giant skeleton, but it had a wig on. And a dress, and so it was a skeleton, and so people would be putting it in each other's dressing rooms. I come in first, to set one morning. I walk down the hallway of dressing rooms. I go to open my door. It's dead silent because it's like 8 a.m. I open the door. As I'm opening the door, it's dark in my dressing room, but as I open it up, there is this person right there, and I legitimately, it was one of the biggest jolts of my life. Talk about Five Nights at Freddy's. Yeah. That was the experience.
Oh,
they got me once.
And no, yeah. No, I did it immediately.
You did it to me.
So that same morning, it happens to me. I go, oh! And then I was like, oh my God. And I go, Allison, oh my God. And I grab it. In my anger, I grab it and I take it to Damien's and I put it in his dressing room and I shut the door. And
I didn't feel the angry vibes there. No, I did it
to you. I was angry at just that it happened to me, but I was like, I know I immediately need to prank someone else.
Of course.
I need
double
to pay
it and give it to the
I need
next
to
person.
Pay it forward.
Were
and so
pranked?
Then I go and I hear Damien walk in.
It was one of those things that, like, you knew it was going around. Like, I'd heard for a while it had been happening to people, so I was mentally prepared in general. Or, like, had been thinking about it as a possibility, but that morning I was zoning out. So the sound I made, as best as I can recreate it here, was, damn it. Like, there's that moment of, like, scream and then realizing.
And I think you then go, Allison. Like, I think you said something about Allison, and then I peek out and go, it was me!
I think Brandon still has my push-up bars. I brought in my GameCube, my push-up bars. I hung up posters, I was like, screw it. If you're not going to make us like know that we're here for 26 episodes, I'm going to move in.
Do you remember when Brandon was playing Dead Space?
Allison's Xbox in his dressing room, yes.
Yeah. Allison lent him his Xbox and he was playing Dead Space. And this was the impression. You just for a whole day, because he's playing Dead Space in his dressing
spooky,
room.
Spooky, spooky game.
And all of a sudden you would just hear, ah! it was just that all day. Like, it's a scary game.
It's Five Nights at Freddy's, but you have kind of a gun and you keep walking down dark hallways.
Yeah.
Holy God.
Anyways.
This isn't too far off from like any kind of theater.
It was very theater.
It was very theater.
Because Groundlings, we had a girl who would like flip over and her hair was matted and her face would always be turned and was missing an eye. And so people would fuck with her all the time.
Oh,
they'd like
God.
Put her in the dark and you'd be like,
as a prop,
Sandy.
Got it.
I was like,
sorry,
I was,
well, you were like, we had this girl at the Groundlings.
Oh, no.
She was missing an eye. Guess.
We had a human mannequin. Person that we yep. would hide.
We kept her in the dark as a joke.
We do it with real people.
Yeah.
It's called hazing.
That's theater for you. So anyways, back to the Anime Brothers.
Anime Brothers.
So I have the script here. This is the first one. We did several.
It was one of the most recurring batches of characters.
We did one where we were fighting
the Sprouses.
Yeah, the Sprouse twins.
Whoa.
It was crazy, man.
Before the Riverdale. I didn't tell you about... Oh, sorry. This is... We're going on so many tangents, but like... I remember playing Minecraft one day with Doug, our castmate, online. Like, we're in our individual homes, and he's like, oh, a couple of my friends are going to join us. And they were into, like, role-playing these characters, I guess. And so it was like, you know, you can't join a treehouse. Okay, yes, you can. And it was, I remember texting or, like, feeling later, like, I kind of just wanted to play, and I didn't really like that. I didn't know we all had to, be like, be in character. Like, I don't know if I liked Doug's friends very much. And then... when I finally met the Sprouses and we were all playing games, it came up that that was them. And I was like, oh, crap. And then we all played games online for like a few years after that. But I like, whoa. First impressions, I was like, I'm glad I didn't talk crap
in
person.
It's a little intense.
My friends are a little weird.
That is a little intense.
Whatever.
So this is the first Anime Brothers. Amanda, could you play pretty much all the characters
except for you guys?
Tay and Zan are our names.
Heard. So I'm Mark, Coach... Dincy,
Jeff,
and Heather. Got it.
Now, this is the first draft, so I'm curious how much it changed when it aired. But all right, I'll read stage directions.
Got it.
Interior school gym day. A bunch of students in gym clothes wait for class to start. Mark and Jeff talk at the front.
Oh, man, I can't believe summer's over already, and we're back in school. I know. I get this. And get this, I have to sit next to the same clown I sat next to last year. Hey, that's me.
Heather enters.
Guys, have you seen Zan and Tay Kornbluth?
Tay Kornbluth.
Zan and Tay Kornbluth? Yeah, I heard they spent all summer locked in their basement watching anime cartoons.
The gym door flies open, revealing Zan and Tay looking mega anime. Zan has tall blue hair. Tay has yellow spiky hair. They sport wristbands, headbands, etc. They jump into the gym like cartoon characters, landing back to back. All of their dialogue is spoken in rapid, over-the-top staccato style, like in a dubbed anime cartoon.
Greetings!
You heard right.
I am Zan.
And I am Tay.
And we are here
for gym class. Tie up!
They clap their hands once and pose.
Do you want to just do the pose?
Oh, yeah, yeah. What was it?
It was kind of like dabbing before dabbing. We kind of invented dabbing.
Yeah, we kind of invented dabbing.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. Don't worry about it. They clap their hands once and pose. Zan and Tay approach the group of kids.
Hello, friends. I am very happy to see you.
I am even happier than my brother.
What? How can this be possible?
I am kidding with you, brother.
Ha, 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 ha. You are kidding with me.
They pose again.
Okay, guys. We get it. You like anime. Yeah. I like Twilight, but you don't see me coating my face in powder and glitter like that twihard that sits next to me. Hey, that's me.
They pose. The gym teacher, Coach Dincy, enters.
Okay, class. Attention.
Coach Dincy is here. I will gain his respect with my competent attitude.
I will gain his respect more.
No, I will gain his respect more by being even more competent than you.
They growl at each other, then break up as Dincy approaches.
Okay, kids. Today, we're playing dodgeball. Split up by sides. Heather, Jeff, you guys are captains. Choose your teams.
I don't care who I get as long as I don't get stuck with that kid that stands next to me in gym class. Oh, he's terrible. Hey, dude, that's me. I'll take Zan. I'll take Tay.
Devastated.
My brother! We are on opposing teams!
We are torn apart!
They both sigh and look sad. Suddenly, Zan changes his tone to hyper-aggressive.
Then you are my enemy, and I will destroy you!
You may try to defeat me, but I will. You will not succeed, for I possess the amulet of Domuto!
He pulls an amulet around his neck, close on it. Dramatic music sting.
You got that at Anime Fest 2009! Pitt's power is worthless!
We shall! See?
Coach Dinsey blows a whistle and tosses a ball to Zan. In a series of intercuts, Zan and Tay stare each other down. Sweat forms on their faces. Zan holds the ball in one hand like he's building up power. You know, anime style. Finally, he can hold back no longer, and he lets the ball loose.
Zaifu!
He shoves the ball away from him. It dribbles lamely onto the floor. Coach Dinsey blows his whistle.
What was that? What is wrong with you two? Just knock it off.
Zan and Tay look embarrassed.
Oh no, we have shamed ourselves in front of our teacher.
I am devastated.
I feel worse than, Jesus, this line. I feel worse than Maruto when he lost the Ninja Ball tournament to the second to last Windbender. God, I want to die. Zan and Tay strike crying poses and gesture tears from their eyes. And it was like
Wait, Ninja Ball, Windbender? Are you guys talking about Maruto Ball D?
They nod.
I, too, watched that box set. It brought me much pleasure.
Then we shall join our powers and fight!
All three put their fists together.
Zoya!
Dinsey, Tay, and Zan freeze. After a beat, Heather, Jeff, and Mark staring at them.
So, does this mean we get to leave class early, then?
Hi!
And bye.
Bye!
Those guys are weirder than that kid I got stuck with as a lab partner this year. That's me!
The class dismissed. We cut to
N-Sked.
Hey.
Yeah.
So the names they ended up going with were Scott and Elliot Kornbluth. Still Kornbluth, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. This was the first.
This kid's so good. It explains crazier. A lot about you guys.
Yeah, well.
In a good way.
I'm glad I feel seen.
Do you remember, I realize we don't have an end segment for the show, but I just, a really crazy thing that I wanted to talk about.
Jaw drop.
I got a jaw drop.
Yeah. I got
but
one too.
I'm not done. I still have some more stuff I want to talk about.
I'm not done,
random.
But then jaw
but I'm not,
drop.
We're not done with the episode yet. But, okay. Well, I want to know, I have what I still think to this day. I'm like, this was the coolest thing we got to do. And I'm curious what you think it is.
Is it Anime Bros related? Because I've got a quick jaw drop
it
about
is,
Anime Bros.
It is Anime Bros related, but I want to hear yours first.
So they asked, because we, you know, sort of ideated the sketch, they were like, what do you want to look like? And so Shane was based off of Goku from Dragon Ball Z. And so they changed his color scheme. And so he had blue tall hair. But, you know, that ended up being a thing in Dragon Ball Z later. You know what I mean? And I looked like Naruto, but with a blue outfit instead of his characteristic orange.
Totally.
And then you had red hair.
Red hair, which I based off of Reno from Final Fantasy VII.
That's true.
Because they initially wrote him with blonde hair, which I was like, Cloud, great. But yeah, they did everything they could
love
to differentiate. We love him. So the thing that was so cool to me was one time, and this is all rumor, all speculation, hearsay. In fact, I'm making it up right now, legally. But I remember talking to Wardrobe, and they were like, we need to get you fitted for your Anime Bros costume and make some changes for the other show. And I was like, what other show? And they're like, I don't know, some kind of like pitching thing. And I was like, wait, what? And they were like, oh, I don't think you're supposed to know about it. Don't say anything. Here I am. So I think they were trying really hard to make the Anime Bros like a spin-off Disney show. But I think it was probably too hard of a sell. But the one writer we knew the best, I think he was really gunning for it.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, it probably would have been sick.
Yeah, but this was before anime was awesome. So, you know, and everybody thought it was cool.
It wasn't, like, it was getting mainstream at this time, but it didn't quite hit what it is nowadays, I feel like.
Yeah, they added in, like, the speed racer old timey, like, wah-ha-ha,
yeah, they were
like,
still, this was a bunch of people who didn't know anime. So it was a miracle that it got.
Dog, they didn't know Harry Potter. They would do a Harry Potter sketch and be like, what are they? So they got wands? Like, oh.
But like anime at this time, like the adults that we're talking to or writing this stuff weren't like familiar.
Right.
And so that's why it's like Maruto Ball D. Like,
right.
But it was very cool. I wanted to say, I guess this will be my jaw drop and then we can talk a little bit more about some stuff.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of guest performers and guest stars. Mm-hmm. musical guests and stuff. We had some cool ones, you know. We had all sorts. I remember Andy Grammer was there, Kobe Callier, all sorts of people.
Justin Bieber.
LMFAO wanted to be on So Random, but they couldn't be because of their name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we had a guest. We had a guest that was actually, to this day, I look back and I'm like, this is one of the coolest things of my life. Mm-hmm. And we still have a photo of us as the Anime Brothers with her. We had Miss Piggy as a guest.
Actual puppeteers, Jim Henson Company, like Miss Piggy.
So all these, it was like several puppeteers. And so I got to do.
Wait, Miss Piggy's like a bunch of dudes?
Oh,
that's
no.
That's the jaw drop. Miss Piggy is actually several guys.
I know that it's a puppet, but also, what? It's not a grown woman with big blonde hair and a tiny little dress and a little purse.
You think there's a human that looks pretty much equivalent to Miss Piggy playing Miss Piggy?
Yeah. Okay, continue.
But I'm sorry. What's crazy is these puppeteers are so good that you're like, okay, I'm going to act in the scene. I'm going to look at Miss Piggy.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, kind of, you get lost a little bit and you're like, Miss Piggy is here. And
you're gorgeous.
And it's so fun. And I, to this day, I'm like, that's the coolest person I've ever gotten to work with.
Miss Piggy.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it was so
sick. I'm jealous.
Sick.
Can I drop a little brag here? Because it's one of the things I'm proudest of in my life. Before I ever got into voice acting, but I knew I really wanted to do it, there was, I don't remember if the puppeteers had left rehearsal or they hadn't gotten there yet, but they were like, we need someone to read like Miss Piggy lines. And I did. And I was like reading them on a microphone, like way across the other side of the stage. And the producer ends up coming over and being like, you know, I need to find the actor who's doing Miss Piggy. Like, where are they? And I was like, oh, that was me. And he was like, that was you? And I was like, yeah. And so, like, after that, I was like, oh, maybe I can do, like, voice match stuff. Cool.
Yes!
And it was right after that I got my voiceover agent and, like, started doing this path.
That's but,
like,
crazy.
Voice matching is hard.
I don't realize how long ago you started it.
Technically, I was in, like, an educational video game when I was, like, 8. But otherwise, voice acting, I started when I was like, 19 or 20.
That's crazy. You auditioning started it right in my so random.
Bedroom with like a $50 microphone USB and just trying my best.
Yeah.
So Random was your guys' breakthrough.
In a lot of ways,
jump-started this friendship, your ideas.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
It definitely was the start.
Yeah.
And I mean, there was a couple of years after where there wasn't much work and it was kind of like, oh shit. Like I remember it was a stark realization of like, there's no such thing as a big break. Like you will book a job. It'll be great. It'll be the dream come true. And then it's going to end. And then you're going to kind of in some ways be back to square one. You're going to have more connections. You're not back to exactly square one, but you may not work for a little bit.
Well, that was the tough thing with like my college friends at the time who were studying theater, because that's what I was studying too. And I kept encouraging them like, hey, like if you ever want to go try to get an agent or something, like I'm happy to help you, you know, find someone or guide you in that process. And most of them had the mindset of like, I don't really want to do that right now. I want to focus on, you know, studying, which is 10,000% fair. But I remember feeling, you know, worried for them because I'm like, look, already nobody gets a free pass here, but once you enter the market, you're going to have kids like we've seen on all these Disney shows who have colossal resumes and are your age and like already know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And even they don't have any kind of guarantees. So it's like, I guess my worries were unfounded because it doesn't matter. Like it doesn't, there's no, like, finally I'm in, I've got my ticket. Like,
but you guys did this show, which is like, to me, every sketch person's dream.
It was a dream
to
for
do,
sure.
And you did it, and it's like, you did it, you have the footage also. That's another thing, is like, sketch artists, like we don't, like sketch artists, that sounds like we're drawing. Sketch
why'd
people,
you make
we
my
don't,
ear so big?
We don't have the footage of a lot of shows, like shows that were like, oh, that sketch was so good. Like, I think it's amazing what you guys have done. Like, it's really cool.
It's trippy to think about. We were doing that show. That was around the time when Ian and Anthony were like at their peak.
Yeah.
Like that's it's weird to think about that and not realizing like where your path was going to.
These converging paths are wild because I watched Smosh back in the day. Like I watched them on YouTube and then probably while I was auditioning for Sketchpad and then I did this, we meet each other, you know, we're friends. We end up becoming roommates later in this big house of people. You get the Smosh, you know, well, you get a commercial before that and I end up, we float through these other jobs here. So you got a commercial. I had a small Cartoon Network booking, and then like you get the Smosh audition, and then years later you were like, hey, like potential for games. Then you got me the audition, and now we're here. And like, it's just like you said, it is our big break, but just not in the way that we thought. But
yeah,
for friendship and good connections to build with each other.
And I'm your guys' fairy godmother.
It was super cool.
And my job is done here, and now I just disappear.
Thank you. And Amanda, go away.
Yeah.
That was D.B. Cooper.
they found new evidence on him.
Really?
On D.B. Cooper. That's my jaw drop.
Oh, shit.
Do you have another hour? Let's do it.
Well, I don't give a fuck about so random now.
More on that later. Well, that was really cool. Thank you guys so much for sharing those scripts with me. Now I understand you guys a lot better.
Thank you.
Really?
Yeah.
Honestly?
Yeah!
I haven't like reminisced about the specifics of it in so long. Like we talk about it so generally, but being able to be here and like share with you, but also like hear it through your lens of like somebody who had not seen it or heard of it or whatever. Yeah. Like, thank you. Thank you for giving us this platform and thanks for giving me this time, both of you.
Yeah,
it's very sweet.
You're welcome.
Well, there's more sketches that we could come back and bring back some other time. It'd also be fun to get some other cast members back here. We did a So Random reunion episode on the old Smosh cast with Matthew Scott and Allison, but we could bring one of them on again.
That would be fun.
It'd be really fun.
Do like a little table read. I think table reads are really good to be like, we did that.
I wonder if they have any, because there were some rejected sketches. Some sketches there that we read that were way inappropriate for Disney that they tried to pitch. Like the writers, like we would read them at the table read. We're like, they're
gonna... I would read rejected sketches as long as they're safe for work.
They are.
They're for Disney.
There was one that was literally lifted from a Tim and Eric sketch that I like had to take the producers aside later. I'm like, hey, I don't want to be this guy. Whoever wrote this one, either forgot that they saw this, fell asleep, woke up with a great idea, and
was
did
Mr.
it.
Was Mr. Spaghetti in it?
No, it was da-da-doo-doo. Da-da-doo-doo. Except he changed it to Bada Bing Bong, but otherwise it was verbatim.
Oh my God.
Yeah. A lot of stories.
Yeah, a lot of stories.
Wow.
Anyways, thank you so much for watching. Damien, thanks for being here.
Thanks
for having me, and thanks truly. Like, this was a really cool, special thing that just, I don't know. Thank you.
Of course. Yeah. And we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.